God will provide. That's a common phrase. It's something so common, in fact, that we even have a name for God providing. It's called providence. God providing is providence, and we trust in providence. Though, in many cases, we only trust in providence after we've tried everything else, and it hasn't worked. And then we finally say, well, God will provide. It's funny, our human mindset. I read an article recently about a charity based in Minnesota. It's called Feed My Starving Children, and it's just a charity that provides emergency food to people in difficult situations, whether it's natural disasters or famines or, unfortunately, oftentimes war, where refugees and people simply can't get enough food. And they'll pack food and ship it to these other places that are in serious need. Feed My Starving Children was originally started as a Christian charity, but for years they sort of downplayed their Christian roots as a way of kind of getting more donations from secular sources. You know, I mean, everybody cares about starving children. But then they had kind of a conversion or a reconversion, if you will. They decided that they were going to go back to their Christian roots. They hired a new president of the company, of the charity, who was a good practicing Catholic and had a good spiritual sense. And every time before they ship the food off, they pray over the shipment of food. And then when it arrives at the destination before it's distributed, they pray over it there as well. Since they've kind of returned to their Christian roots, they've grown by 63% annually, which means that when this new president started, they had a budget of maybe $600,000, and now they have a budget of $43 million. That's what happens when you start relying on God instead of other sources. He told these amazing stories. One was because of the unrest in Haiti, they were going to try to ship extra food down there. So they called for extra donations. They wanted over 100,000 more packets of food, and they were able to get enough donations to ship over 300,000. But it didn't ship, because they called the shipping company that they've used for years, and they said, we need two containers for this food shipment. They waited and waited and waited, and 2-3 weeks went by, and the containers never arrived. So they called their shipper back. Well, what happened? Well, he said, we couldn't find any extra tall containers in your area, so we're bringing two in from California. So what's wrong with you? We've never used extra tall containers. All we need is regular size. So it took another 2 weeks before the shipment finally shipped. Meanwhile, they had a huge natural disaster down in Haiti. And if the food had been shipped when he thought it was supposed to be, it would have been down there and destroyed. Their food arrived just after the natural disaster, when people needed it more. You can see the hand of God working in something as simple as providing food. Your Heavenly Father knows. Don't worry about what to eat or drink or wear. Your Heavenly Father will provide for all these things, Jesus tells us. Oh yes, we believe in providence. We believe that God will take care of the world. But how many of us are worried about Monday morning? How hard is it to apply this general idea to our everyday lives? We worry about what to eat and drink and wear. We worry about everything. What keeps us from trusting in God? I think a first problem is that we think that maybe God doesn't really know. Clearly I have this need and it hasn't been filled. God must not know. So I have to tell God. No, says Jesus, your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Okay, well, I've told God and I haven't gotten what I wanted. Maybe God doesn't really care. You know? Or maybe he could do something, but I'm really not important enough. Maybe if I bugged God more, if I said more rosaries, I would get the answers I'm looking for. Because clearly my needs, whatever it is, if especially with bigger things, jobs and health and things like that, aren't being fulfilled at this moment. So we maybe sort of think of God like Santa Claus, you know, where you give him a list of 18 things, and he's like, well, I couldn't legally give you a rocket launcher, and you can't fly a helicopter, so here's a pair of bunny slippers. So we kind of think of that for God, like, maybe I'm asking for too much, God. Maybe, yeah. But that's not the case either. What's going on here? It's pretty simple. God's a good parent, right? And a good parent never gives their kids everything they want. There's this new kind of parenting. It's called give your kids what they want. It's a terrible idea, okay? When I was a kid, it was you. It's your bedtime, go to bed. But you guys are watching TV. Well, yeah, we're adults. You go to bed. I'm not even tired. I don't care. It's your bedtime. Go to bed. Oh, Mom. I still do that sometimes. Mom. Then you stomp up to bed and try to make it as painful as possible, right? The new kind of parenting says, oh, you want to stay up? That's fine. And here's a bowl of ice cream. Well, your dad and I are tired, so we're going to go to bed. So here's the remote control. Watch anything you want and put yourself to bed. That kind of parenting doesn't really love their kids. If you love your kids, you'll give them what's good for them, not what they ask for. And that's precisely what God is doing with us. God wants to give us what's truly good for us, not just what looks good for us at this moment or that moment. The reason we have a hard time trusting is we really can't believe that God might know better than us what's good for us. So we have a hard time trusting that God will give us what's truly good. But when we trust, we experience the love of God present and active in our lives. You know, I had an experience myself. In fact, this gospel reading reminds me of an experience I had when I was on retreat. Once, I did a 30-day silent retreat. It almost killed me. As part of this retreat, we were supposed to spend 4 to 5 hours a day in prayer, but in chunks, like an hour at a time. And we had a director. We'd meet with our director once a day and for about an hour. And the director would go through what our prayer time and listen to us and say, well, maybe the Lord is trying to tell you something here and you're not listening. So I want you to go back to that one. And then here are some new scripture passages to meditate on. So we were on a campus, a college campus, and we had several different chapels around where we could pray. And I'd forgotten to bring a backpack. So I had to bring my Bible and a prayer book and a journal and things like that. So I was carrying them around in a plastic bag. I felt pretty silly. Well, after a few days, I said to my director, we happened to meditate on this passage, and I said to my director, you know, I've always heard of this in terms of God provides for everyone. But today, when I'm reading this passage, I heard it almost like God saying, Joel, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And I said, but, you know, what does that really look like? Because I need a backpack, and it's not like I'm just going to ask God for a backpack and one's going to fall out of the sky, right? I said, so this afternoon, I had planned, and I went through with my plan. I went up a couple miles away from campus. I went up to a thrift store. It was a St. Vincent de Paul or a Goodwill or something, and I looked through their backpacks that they had, and I found one that would work. Paid like 75 cents or something, and brought it home, and I washed it, because it was a thrift store. And then I hung it up to dry, so it would be all clean and neat and ready for me for the next day. The next day, I opened my door to my room, and there sitting in front of my door was a brand new backpack. In fact, it was actually this backpack right here. It's got a little wear now, but this was so new that it still had a tag hanging off the side of it. And there was a note with the backpack. I noticed you didn't have a backpack, and I had an extra one I didn't need, signed one of the other people who was on retreat. So I brought this to my director and I said, and I thought God wasn't going to give me a backpack. I took the one that I bought and I gave it to somebody else. I don't know if he had been praying for a backpack or not, but he appreciated it. He used it the rest of the retreat. So So even our simplest needs, God knows and cares about. And God will give us what we need. In that moment, it wasn't really the backpack I needed. I needed to see that there was no problem too small that God wouldn't take care of if he loved me. And he does. And that's the other problem, is that somehow we think that maybe God doesn't quite love us. Maybe God's forgotten. Maybe we're not good enough. There's just too many people in the world. How can we all talk to God at once? My concerns aren't... He's running the universe. Your concerns matter. Our first reading reminds us, Zion says, God has forgotten me. Could a mother forget her child? Be without tenderness for the fruit of her womb? Let's just imagine that for a moment. A woman's leaving a restaurant. Oh, ma'am, I think you left your baby there under the table. What? No, I don't have a baby. Well, you came in with a baby. Did I? Oh, yeah, I guess I did. Suppose that's my baby, isn't it? Would a mother forget her kid? No. But even if she does, says God, I will never forget you. You know, the other problem that gets in the way of trusting God, I hadn't noticed this before, but Jesus introduces this wonderful passage by warning us about something, and it's our love of money. The reason that we have a hard time trusting in God is because it's not something we can hold on to. We feel kind of empty and kind of vulnerable, like maybe he won't provide this time. We want something we can hold on to, and what is that something? Money. Money gives us security. And so we tend to hold on to that and try to trust God at the same time. God says you can't do that. You can't trust God and money. Nobody can serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other, or you'll hate the one and love the other. You can't serve both God and money. Money provides us with so many wonderful things. It allows us to satisfy our desires. We can buy almost anything with it. It gives us a sense of security. Walking into a store and having money in your pocket feels good. Not knowing if you'll have enough doesn't feel good. Money also, unfortunately, gives us a sense of self-worth. When we make more money, we feel worth more. When we make less, we feel worth less. We trust, we trust the economy to provide for us, don't we? And what we don't realize is how deeply we tend to trust money and doubt God. If you want to make everybody in America have a bad day, what do? Give them bad news about the economy, right? You think parking at church is bad? Try going to a mall on Sunday. Where do we like to worship? At the mall. What's our biggest holiday of the year in America? Christmas. And what do we celebrate? Consumerism. Our love for money goes really deep. In fact, we've even put it on our bill. You look at money, what does it say? In God we trust, right? Do they mean in God we trust? Or this is the God in which I trust? I was watching a special on public TV about the Pennsylvania Railway's Penn Station in New York. The Pennsylvania Railroad was tunneling under the East River and under the Hudson River to provide... to connect their different railway stations, and they demolished 500 houses in this area to build this enormous station that basically came out almost like a cathedral. It was this classic building. It was modeled after the ancient Roman and Greek buildings. It was enormous. It was built for the future, and it was built as a monument to kind of lift the spirits of people who were, well, paying money to ride the Pennsylvania Railroad. You know, it was 1906 they started building it, and they said something interesting in this special, that they had crews working around the clock 7 days a week. And I thought, 7 days a week. We think of 1906 as a religious time in America. People used to believe. And yet even 100 years ago, when it came to honoring God or making money, money won. Do you know what happened to the Pennsylvania Railway Station? It was enormous, it was beautiful, it was memorable. It was so big that it finally was at its capacity during World War II in 1945. 1946 was the first year in its entire history that the Pennsylvania Railroad had lost money. They didn't count on the automobile and on the airplane. They continued to struggle, had to find a way to cut costs, and so in the 60s, they tore down Penn Station. This beautiful monument, built with all this work, lasted 50 years. That's what happens when we trust in money. God offers us to trust in Him instead. And we have to trust that God will provide not what we want, but what we need. We have to turn our hearts from looking for security in something we can hold on to and something we can control, to accepting security in the love of God that we can't possess, but we can never lose. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, even if it's something as little as a backpack.